This happened to me 3 months ago, and I can't stop thinking about it. I'm a college sophomore, and for about a year, I was working as a delivery driver for a popular local restaurant. For the most part, the delivery locations were not far from the city. But then, at 11 p.m. on a random Thursday, I got an order for 2 plain cheeseburgers with fries and a Coke, with instructions to hand it to the customer. Not a super unusual order, until I checked the location and found that it was in the middle of nowhere. I didn't really have an option to decline the order, though, so I got the bag and headed out. As I got closer, an eerie feeling started to set in. The road became narrow and winding, and I hadn't seen anything, not even a gas station in miles. When I finally reached the destination, I met an even more unsettling sight. The house I parked in front of seemed vacant, abandoned for years. It looked like it was turning black from some kind of soot, and there wasn't a single light on inside. I was sure I was being pranked by some stupid kids, which had happened before. However, I decided to do my due diligence and try my best to complete the delivery. I got out of my car with the bag, walked up onto the porch, and rang the doorbell. I was surprised it even still worked. The button had a weight to it and felt very mechanical, and the sound of it was like actual large bronze bells tolling from inside. I don't know why, but it gave me chills. A minute went by, but nobody came to the door. I knocked for good measure, but still, it seemed clear that the house was empty. I gave up and started walking back to my car. Almost as soon as I turned away, though, I got the sudden feeling that I was being watched. I tried to ignore it, but about halfway there, I couldn't resist the urge to look back. I almost couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the shadow of someone in the attic window, casting the drapes from a dim light that wasn't there before. It was literally like when someone in a horror movie sees a ghost inside a window for a split second. But when I blinked, it was still there. The drapes parted, revealing a middle-aged man. Then, just as quickly as he appeared, he left the window. I assumed he was going down to the door, but I didn't move to meet him just yet. I kept my distance. A few moments later, the door opened, and inside stood the same man from the window, again backlit from a puny incandescent light bulb hanging from a chain, one that I knew had not been on just a minute ago. I still did not walk toward the house. There was a palpable stench pouring out of the open door, an odor I'd never smelled before in my life. Instead, I tried confirming the order from where I stood. I said the name on the ticket, as well as the contents, asking if it was him. He nodded slowly and said the exact words that still haunt me. "Come closer. I want to eat." I literally could not move. I wanted to drop the food on the ground and run back to my car, but this man's gaze was like a tractor beam trying to pull me into the house. After a moment of terrifying silence, the man said, "Fine, I'll come to you." He then stepped down from the porch and began walking toward me, gradually entering the cone of my car headlights, which I left on. The brighter the lights got on him, the more details I could see, and they rapidly stacked on top of each other. His clothes were ragged and torn, and soaked in multiple layers of stains. The seemingly oldest ones were gray, but as they became fresher, they turned brown. Then finally, a dark red. Blood, as if it couldn't get any worse. His gait was imbalanced, like he was holding something close to his hips with one hand. Finally, when he was about 10 feet from me, I snapped out of it. I threw the bag at him, then turned and sprinted back to my car. I got in faster than I ever had, slamming the door and locking it in one motion. The next thing I saw was a knife in my face. I screamed as it thrust it at me, but then it struck the glass. I was so scared I thought it had somehow phased through the window. I collected myself, then grabbed my keys out of my pocket, shoving them into the ignition with shaking hands. At the same moment that I turned the keys and I heard the engine roar to life, I heard a loud pop and hissing from outside the car. The man was leaning over, grinning at me, and I realized he had just slashed my tire. Before things could get any worse, I floored it. I nearly crashed into the house before I got control and circled around it. Then I raced down the driveway and back onto the road. I didn't care that I was driving on a flat. I drove about 5 miles before I finally found a gas station, where I parked and told the clerk what my situation was. I didn't have a spare, so he helped me call a tow truck, who took my car to a shop that was closed until the morning, then was nice enough to drop me off at my work. I explained everything that happened to my boss, who called the cops, saying I should have done so a long time ago. He was right, but I was so shaken that I never thought to. The cops got my story, then went to investigate the house. According to the call I got a couple weeks later, they found nothing there. The investigation is still ongoing, but it's pretty clear that Sicko in the house had his victim captive and tortured him for a long time before finally killing him. Every time I think about this, I can't stop thinking about how close I came to becoming that monster's next victim.
I'm a delivery guy, but not a pizza delivery guy. I'm a long-haul trucker, delivering all manner of things. Usually washing machines, or games consoles, or fridges. Things you'd think are safe to transport, but you'd be surprised what people will heist. Now, true story, a truck carrying the entire U.S. shipment of the Killing Joke action figures got robbed at gunpoint recently. Google it if you don't believe me. Anyway, when this went down, I was on a cross-country haul to Albany from Dallas. I'm legally not allowed to say what exactly I was carrying, but let's just say it was very expensive, very desirable equipment of the medical variety. The kind of cargo that'd make me a bit more jumpy than microwave ovens or custom kitchen deliveries. If you get that reference, congrats, you're an old man like I am. The journey was said to be just over 24 hours, which meant that there was a rest stop and a few hours sleep on my itinerary. I timed things so I'd get to stop at one of my favorite rest stops in Kentucky at around midnight. They had a killer 24-hour diner there, and some other truckers I'd become familiar with over time often stopped there too, so we'd meet up and shoot the breeze. Imagine my disappointment when I pulled into the truck stop, only to discover that the diner was closed for refurbishments, and the only other vehicle in the lot was a beat-up old Range Rover that looked like it had been abandoned there months ago. Nobody was answering the CB radio either, just a completely dead night. Ah well, I thought, it happens. I always planned for such eventualities, and I'd packed a bunch of healthy, well-rounded meal options, such as Slim Jims, Twinkies, Cheetos, and Mountain Dew. You know, all that good stuff that helps keep my trucker bod slim and svelte. I chowed down on some dried meats, mainlined a Twinkie or four, and listened to a couple of CDs and then decided to catch a few hours sleep before continuing on. Normally on the road I sleep like a baby. I just slip into the passenger seat, recline it a little, and I'm out like a shot. That night though, no dice. Something felt off. Maybe it was the diner with all the lights off, maybe it was the empty truck stop lot, maybe it was the flickering street lamp near the turnoff. Now, I'm not a superstitious man. I can't explain it. I just had a bad feeling. Real bad. Like something about the whole place was wrong. Now, let me stress this here. I'd been to this truck stop at least a dozen times in the past. It was a favorite, but it was usually a hub of activity, even in the middle of the night. Being here alone felt like I'd crossed some kind of portal, like I was in another world. I really am not the kind of guy who falls into this type of thinking, though, I promise. I love horror movies precisely because they don't scare me. Yeah, I get a little paranoid about my cargo getting robbed very occasionally, and I guess that played into it here. But this was something else, man. It sounds like a cliche, but it was like an ill wind was blowing. And I mean that figuratively and literally. It had been a calm night, but as soon as I parked, the wind kicked up. Dust and leaves and debris billowing up around the parking lot. Then there was the abandoned Range Rover. I could swear the windows had been busted out. Was it burned up? I couldn't tell. And then a voice in the back of my head was telling me to go check it out. I had my trusty sidekick, Kirsty. Kirsty's my shotgun. Don't go anywhere without her. If I'm not supposed to have her, then I have a hiding place and, well, I'm not going to implicate myself, but she stays with me at all times in the truck. The idea of walking over to this abandoned car, though, just gave me the full-on, unfiltered heebie-jeebies. And the more I thought about it, the more it started bothering me. My mind started drifting towards various possibilities, and then it started drifting in general until suddenly I was falling asleep. I was nodding off into dreamland. I was... At that moment, I heard a knock, knock, knock. And holy freaking Christmas, I jolted awake. Was I dreaming? Knock, knock, knock again. A little quieter this time, but someone was tapping on the driver's side window. And as I mentioned, I sleep in the passenger seat, and with the truck cab light off, I couldn't really see who was knocking. I could just see the vague shape of a human. I flicked the interior light on, which made it even harder to see who was out there, and I gestured for them to come around to the passenger side, hoping they'd get the hint. And then, it was like they just disappeared, like they ducked down out of view. What the hell? I shut off the interior light. A minute had passed, and then two, and I was starting to think that I'd imagined it, and I'd still been dreaming. Knock, 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 again, harder. This time right next to me, the passenger side window. And I jumped up. Okay, this wasn't cool. I grabbed my flashlight from the glove compartment and shone it at the visitor. He was dressed in a pizza delivery outfit, a very well-known brand. He had the jacket and he had the cap, brim pulled down low over his face. He didn't seem bothered by the flashlight shining right in his face, but I angled it away regardless and then, against my better judgment, wound down the window.
"Can I help you, buddy?"
I asked. The pizza delivery guy seemed to grin at me.
"I got the pizza you ordered, my friend,"
he said. I had not ordered a pizza. I was in the middle of an abandoned truck stop. My phone didn't have reception. The only way I could have ordered pizza was over the CB radio, and, well, obviously I hadn't. I explained this to him, and not once did this guy's grin falter. I could barely see him in the darkness, but his smile was like this bright white, catching the light reflecting off of it. The pizza delivery guy reeled off some real name and said that no, definitely the pizza was mine and I'd ordered it. I reiterated that I had not and I didn't want pizza. In truth, I did, absolutely, but I wasn't accepting a strange pizza from a strange grinning guy. Now I shone that flashlight at him again, and that's when I noticed the absolute state of his uniform. If this guy was a Domino's employee, then his uniform had not been replaced since probably the 90s. It was torn. It was filthy. His cap was ripped with bits of hair sticking through places, and the logo was partially unstitched.
"Buddy, just move along,"
I said.
"I don't want your pizza."
He told me he couldn't do that, that I had paid for the pizza, and he'd be in a lot of trouble if I didn't accept the food I'd paid for. I reached for Kirsty. Usually, Kirsty's appearance causes even the most aggressive weirdo to back down. Not this guy. I still couldn't see his eyes, but his smile grew wider, almost admiring. He held up the pizza box.
"You really don't want this pizza?"
he said, and my stomach growled. And that's when he tilted his head back and I saw his eyes, or more accurately, his eye. His left eye was bloodshot, wide and staring, and his right eye was just missing. It was covered, not by an eye patch, but gauze. And for a moment he stopped smiling, and somehow that was a relief. And then I cocked Kirsty.
"Listen, buddy, I'm gonna drive off now. I suggest you step back,"
I said. No way was I staying here any longer. I'd find somewhere else down the line to rest.
"No!"
His sudden yell made me jump, and I cursed myself for being fearful. The smile didn't leave his face, though, but his eye looked almost sad.
"It's your pizza. You have to take the pizza. I'm gonna put it on the ground and leave, and then you can get it."
And with that, the pizza guy in the filthy uniform walked straight backwards, placed the pizza on the ground, and then continued to walk backwards towards that Range Rover, never once taking his eyes off me. Finally, when he was far enough away, he did turn and got in the car. I heard the engine start and he drove off. And sure enough, in the glare from his vehicle's headlights, I could see that all the windows had been smashed. I know I should have just driven off, but I was curious. Clutching my shotgun, I climbed out the truck and walked over to the pizza. I picked it up, opened the box, and reared back. There was a pizza inside, but it was clearly about a week old. It was moldy, rancid, reeking. Maggots crawled all over the surface, and I recoiled and tossed it across the lot. Then something occurred to me. I went to the back of the truck to check the doors. Had I been robbed or scammed somehow? No. The truck was still locked up tight, but scratched into the paint were two words. Don't eat. I hopped into the driver's seat and hightailed it out of there. I didn't stop until I reached Albany. Kirsty did not leave the seat next to me for that entire trip, and I have no explanation as to what happened. Now, I don't believe in anything supernatural, and the man clearly was flesh and blood. I'm pretty sure it was just a couple of tweakers who wanted to put the spooks up some hapless trucker, maybe rob them. And if that was their plan, it worked. While it scared the crap out of me, it has given me an excellent story to tell over the CB radio over the years. However, on the downside, I've never been able to look at pizza the same way again. So no need for a preamble or anything, just know that when this played out, it was the early 2000s, and I was a 20-year-old woman working a pizza delivery job to help pay my way through college. I was based in a city, so we had so many different customers it was hard to keep track of regulars. One regular order I did remember, though, was this really sweet old couple who lived in a small suburban bungalow. They usually just ordered a pizza and some other stuff on a Friday night, so I was a little surprised when one day we got an order to their address for like 8 huge pizzas. So we get everything cooked and I take the delivery because I love this old couple and we usually chatted for a few minutes, and the tip was a nice bonus too. So I get to the house and even before I knock on the door, something seems wrong. Loud, pumping techno is coming from what seems to be the basement. I knock and the door gets opened. I'm not 100% sure, but I am 99.9% sure that the person who opened the door wasn't either of the old people. In fact, this person was dressed in a black and white wolf fur suit, and I guess he was nonverbal because he gestured to the pizzas, pulled out his pocket to show it was empty, and then did a sort of fake crying gesture before pointing for me to come inside. Now, going inside a customer's house is usually a huge no-no, but I normally would drop in on this couple and I was concerned about them as well as being morbidly curious. I move to follow the fursuit wolf into the house and as he turns around, I realize, oh, it's one of those furries. I can tell because, well, his fursuit includes assless chaps. And I tried to avert my eyes and made the stupid mistake of stepping over the threshold of the house, and the front door clicked shut behind me. I turned to see a moth-eaten looking bear standing there. And I swear to God, you know that creepy blowjob bear from The Shining? This guy made that character look like Yogi. The way I can describe this fursona was a bear wolf. I just wanted to know what happened to my old couple. So I took the pizzas through the kitchen and put them down on the counter and told old assless chaps wolf in no uncertain terms that I needed payment. And also, I'd really appreciate knowing where Mr. and Mrs. Smith were. The wolf and the bear both mimed laughter, as if this was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. Now I know, please don't scream at me for this next bit. They gestured toward the basement where the techno music was coming from, and against everything I've ever learned from every horror movie and listening to Let's Read, I followed them. And Christ almighty, there was every kind of animal thing you can imagine. An owl dressed in leather bondage, a unicorn showing off almost everything, cartoon cats in diapers, and at the center of everything was a man wearing a bat mask and a cape. And I know that he was a man because that's all he was wearing. And there was my beloved old couple, sitting on a couch, looking absolutely terrified. Are you guys okay? I asked them. Mr. Smith looked at me, and Mrs. Smith looked like she was about to burst into tears.
Our grandson came to visit,
she said, gesturing to the assless chap's werewolf.
And he brought some friends,
Mr. Smith said. I had no idea what to do. The furries hadn't done anything directly threatening, but I still felt unsafe and uncomfortable, and clearly so did this older couple. That's when I saw the table set up in the corner with what was very obviously a makeshift meth production lab. And from the looks of it, and the haphazard way these fursuit-wearing freaks were tossing around chemicals, this was unsafe enough to take action. Now I hurried over to the old couple, saying, "Come on, we're leaving," and they both got up. We made it to the basement stairs and up the hallway. We were nearly home free. And then the bear reared its ugly head, and Mrs. Smith began to cry. Then from downstairs, a low but audible explosion. Suddenly, furries were streaming out of the basement, coughing, screaming, yelling. The naked Batman came barreling past us, swinging free in the open air as he dived out the front door. The grandson, the assless chap's wolf, literally shoved his grandmother out of the way to get to safety. I caught her, dragging both her and Mr. Smith out into the lawn. We took in the fresh air just in time for another explosion to rock the house. Flames began to spread from the basement into the hallway. Furries were fleeing left and right. Mrs. Smith continued to cry. Mrs. Smith just stood there shaking his head, and the grandson leaped into a car with that bear, and the pair of them took off. Soon, nearly all the furries were gone. The only one who remained was the naked man bat, and I'm so grateful that he did, because he testified as to exactly what happened, even if it meant outing his double life as a lawyer with a fetish bat persona. Props to him. Not all heroes wear capes, although this one did, and only a cape. I did stop delivering to that old couple, though. Things just felt different after that, and while the story may seem borderline comedic, it was genuinely one of the most terrifying moments of my life, barely making it out in time.